The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord. First reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Very, very sober, very serious. No? Almost say somewhat scary. Because in a day and a half, we end this church year. We start a new church year with Advent. So in the first reading, you basically have a good explanation of what we say in theology, eschatology, study of the last things. First of all, we see two standards. We see an angel that came from heaven, and he holds in his hand the key to the abyss and the heavy chain. So you have a good angel. Then this angel sees the dragon. Now who's the dragon? It's the devil. And the Word of God gives us one of the images of the devil, who is the ancient serpent. And then John says he is the devil or Satan. The ancient serpent goes back to Genesis chapter 3. The ancient serpent. The serpent that tempted Adam and Eve. He says that he's tied up for 1,000 years and thrown into the abyss, which he locked over and sealed so that it could no longer lead the nations astray until the 1,000 years are completed. After this, it is to be released for a short time. In other words, the devil is given power according to God's permissive will. God gives the devil a certain amount of power. He really doesn't have power unless we give that power to him. Because God is much more powerful than the devil. But if we allow the devil to have power, then he becomes very powerful. Then John says, then he saw thrones. Those who sat in them were entrusted with judgment. So we've got here, we've got the devil, we've got the angel, and we've got judgment. And he says, I saw also the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Here we have a reality of martyrdom. In the history of the church, there have been many martyrs. The century in which there are most martyrs was the 20th century. Now the 21st century, probably even more. We hear martyrs offering themselves to God all over the world. But for example, in Syria, you have children that have, about 3 months ago, the ISIS entered in the home of children who had made their first communion and baptism, and they told them to deny Jesus Christ, and these children said, we will not deny Jesus Christ, and these children were actually beheaded. It's not simply adults. Today we celebrate St. Catherine of Alexandria that died on the wheel. She was tortured on the wheel. She was converted about 17, and she started to preach the gospel to many people, and she had a lot of resistance and died as a martyr. You notice almost every week we come out dressed in red. For example, 2 days ago we celebrated two martyrs at the same day. St. Clement, who was the second pope, and Blessed Miguel Pro, who was a martyr who died during the Cristeros about 95 years ago. But those who are beheaded, they're witnesses to Jesus and for the Word of God. They did not worship the beast or its image. What is the beast? The beast is any false god that we place above the true God. The beast could be alcohol. The beast can be pornography. The beast can be drugs. The beast can be legalized marijuana. The beast can be maybe the person we look at in the morning in the mirror. Okay, we adore ourselves, no? There are a lot of different types of beasts. But any person, place, thing, idea that we place above God is the beast. Then John says that I saw a large white throne and the one who was sitting on it. Now who's that going to be? That is Jesus Christ. And he said, I saw the dead, the great and the lowly, standing before the throne, and the scrolls were open. Another scroll was open, the Book of Life. Now the Protestants who say that we're saved by faith and faith alone, listen to this. The dead were judged according to their deeds. Wrong, Protestants. Wrong. The dead were judged according to their deeds. So we're judged not only on faith, but also on works. And St. James says that faith without works is dead. That's why if you did the Liturgy of the Hours today, we read the second letter of Peter, and Peter says, many of the writings of Paul are very difficult, and many people misinterpret them to their own condemnation. That's why we have to have the church and the magisterium of the church, the doctors, the fathers, and authentic theologians to help us interpret the Word of God in an authentic light. It's very easy for us to pull something out of context. Having studied literature before becoming a priest, I know that you can read some literary text and you can pull it out of context. You don't read the whole text, the literary text. You read it partially, it's easy to distort it. So he says that they're judged according to their deeds. Now let's pray. Now he goes on to say that there is a book. Okay, there is a book. There's a big book. And those whose names are written in the book will be saved. Let's pray that we'll be written in that book, please. Let's pray that today our guardian angels and Mary will write our names in the Book of Life. Amen?
Amen?
You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Let's pray right today that through Mary's prayers, our guardian angel, that all of us will persevere, that even today our names will be written in the book and they will not be blotted out. Amen?
Amen.
This reading is scary. It's scary. Very serious. Very sober. But very real. We should pray that we'll be written in the Book of Life. And let's pray that our children, your grandchildren, that their names will be written in this book too. If they're written in the Book of Life, then they will be saved. And it says again, and the dead were judged according to their deeds. It said twice, not once. So two times in Revelation 20, the author says they are judged according to their deeds. Matthew 25, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. Whatsoever you do to least of my brothers, you do to me. We're going to be judged in the way we treat others. And he goes on to say, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the pool of fire. What's that? What? It's not complicated. Very clear. Cast into the pool of fire. You know, if we light a match, and the match ends up by burning our finger, we end up maybe with a blister, and there it is for maybe a couple of days, and we're nursing the blister. Do you think being thrown in the pool of fire is going to be more difficult than that blister? Just the thought of that should spark within us what is called fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many people in this country yesterday, let's pray for them, how many people in the country yesterday? 8 and over 8 and drank and got drunk and didn't even think about God the whole day. Think any people in the country? Probably a lot. It was just a day of sensuality. Just a day to feed the senses. Whereas yesterday in the parish, we had 3 masses. We celebrated 8 o'clock mass, and the 10 o'clock mass was packed. And after the mass, I was a little bit tricky. I moved so quick, I didn't allow them to leave, so I got them to pray the rosary with me. They didn't see the line of demarcation between the mass and the exposition, so I moved so quick that they couldn't barely move. So we got most of the people staying for the rosary, no? You got to be crafty. Got to be crafty. Now, they didn't have enough time to get up and move because I started praying the rosary and I was looking at them all and they think they're... I said, stay after and pray the rosary if you're not in a hurry, and if they got up and moved away, they'd see me glaring at them. Huh? So spiritual astuteness, no? But I tell you, when they're praying the rosary, their roof almost flew off. They were praying with such fervor. The rosary, the chaplet, I gave them blessing, and Father Larry came in for the 12 o'clock mass. So if we want to avoid the pool of fire, let us love Mary. Let us end this year loving Mary. Let us end this year imitating Mary. Let us end this year placing our loved ones in the heart of Mary. Because those who love Mary will love Christ. Those who love Christ will love God the Father. And those who love the God the Father will have their names written in the book of life. Amen.